a remarkable story, and we'll cover as much ground as we can in the next hour and a half. Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Marvin. Dan, welcome back to the Eagle 93.9.
Well, I'm just happy as I can be and blessed, really, to be on your station.
We appreciate it here. Just a note for people listening in, we know that we've got a bit of an echo coming back on the line here, and there is nothing we can do about that, so we're just going to have to muddle through for the next hour and a half. Dan, are you getting that echo on your end?
Not at all. No, okay. I did get it on the recording that you had me listen to. But it just sounds just clear as a bell right now.
Okay, well, you can hear fine, and that's the important thing. I'll deal with the echo on my end and try not to get distracted.
Okay.
So, Dan, your book, Expendable Elite, was a record of your time in Vietnam. And I think the important thing to start with is what you start with in the early chapters of your book, that you and your team, your A-team, as a Green Beret, were apparently the first American military unit ordered into Cambodia, a neutral country, in 1966. Is that correct?
Well, the way that it worked is when I reported to Colonel William Tuttle, who was a commander of all Green Berets in the 4th Tactical Corps of Vietnam, he asked me if I would accept the mission. There was no order. There never is on top secret stuff. It's always they ask you if you do it, and then you say you do it, and it's compartmentalized, so he was not my direct commander. Actually, he was the C-team commander, and then I would report from there to the B-team. But anyway, he asked me if I would accept the mission to be the very first men to have authorization to go into Cambodia against the enemy in their safe havens that had been provided to them up to this date. That was on the day before Christmas of 1965. The enemy had safe havens all the way along the entire border with Vietnam inside Cambodia.
So
he asked me if I'd volunteer to command the first independent operation to be able to go in there.
Now, Cambodia was officially a neutral nation, correct?
That is correct. Of course, the big problem with the authorization to go into Cambodia is that because of the president giving them the safe havens and the CIA coming up with this, going in to satisfy, actually to appease the Wahao community, the Buddhist Wahao community, we were actually going against the president, so that he warned me, Colonel Tuttle did. He said, if you get caught inside of Cambodia, you will be dropped as deserters. If you get hurt or if you need help, inside Cambodia, you can't have it because you'll have no artillery support, no air support, and no medevac support. You'll be completely on your own. And, of course, I understood that, but I still volunteered for it. And when I went to leave the room, his office in Can Tho, South Vietnam, day before Christmas, 1965, he told me, he said, just remember, when you leave that door, it will be as if we never met. Because everything was top secret.
Now, Dan, why was President Johnson allowing safe haven for the Viet Cong inside Cambodia?
It was some kind of an agreement between he and North Vietnam, to the best of my knowledge, okay, I wasn't in the president's office, that would allow them to continue to have safe haven in Cambodia. I do know this, that the Prince of Cambodia, who I was asked to kill in June of 66, was not the one that authorized the enemy sanctuary in Cambodia. It was our president. And, in fact, if you read, or if your listeners would read General Westmoreland's book, A Soldier Reports, he, in that book, which is his autobiography, not written by anybody else, he admits that he was aware of the enemy sanctuaries and also the enemy's use of the Mekong River as their major resupply route to take weapons and ammunition to the enemy inside their safe havens, which they could then use to kill our people on this side and our people up until my own small area, 30 miles of the border, and starting the first day of January 1966, nobody else could fire back into Cambodia against the enemy.
Our guest on the Eagle 93.9 is Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Marvin. He's retired Special Forces Green Beret Captain in Vietnam during 1965 and 66, nicknamed Dangerous Dan. Dan, how frustrating was it for you as a soldier to know that the enemy was using the river and using the enemy, using Cambodian territory just yards away from your position for operations, and that you and your fellow soldiers were not allowed to strike back?
Well, the Mekong River now was about near Ha Tien, which was another Special Forces camp. And when I went and visited there and talked to Captain Jim Miles, who had the same position in his area that I did in my area, only his was not an independent operation, and he was not allowed to fire into Cambodia, and he was supposed to control the Mekong River. But like he told me, all I can do is send two Green Berets and two Vietnamese national policemen onto that ship, and the one that day happened to be a Lithuanian freighter. And he said, all I can do is have them look at the manifest. The manifest on that ship said 10,000 tons of toys. Now, he said, I mean, you don't believe that, right? But he couldn't do anything. Now, if the manifest had said 10,000 tons of weapons and ammunition, which was what was on that ship, then they could have stopped the ship with firepower if necessary. But the enemy is pretty smart. I mean, that ship was protected all the way from the South China Sea into up the Mekong River into Cambodia for the enemy. It was protected by our people. Now, we in my area, you mentioned we couldn't shoot back. We could shoot back in my area, and that's the thing that I volunteered to command, was the first operation to fire back into Cambodia at the enemy in their safe havens, and I was tickled pink to do that. Believe me, we were all happy about that. But we could only just go so far into Cambodia, because when you don't have artillery support or air support or medevac, you don't want to get your men so deep in Cambodia that you can get cut off.
Especially if when they did get cut off, they'd be dropped from the rolls as deserters.
That's correct.
We're talking with Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Marvin, U.S. Army Special Forces retired, about his book, Expendable Elite. The website with information, pictures, and even audio from members of his team in Vietnam, expendableelite.com. Our conversation continues, and we'd like to bring you in on it at 874-9390. I'm Derek Gilbert, straight ahead, the Eagle Tax Advantage, and more with Colonel Marvin. This is the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle 939.com.
Columbia's information superhighway. This is The Drive with Derek Gilbert, your city, your station, the Eagle 93.9.
Our lines are open if you'd like to put a question to our guest, Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Marvin, U.S. Army Special Forces retired, captain of a Green Beret A team in Vietnam in late 1965 and through 1966, and his experiences and some of the things that disturbed him about his time there, recorded in his book Expendable Elite. ExpendableElite.com is the website. Dan, I misspoke. The first incident that you record in the book was not the order or request, I should say, to go into Cambodia, but a massacre that you saw on your way to your assignment at An Phu. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. After Colonel Tuttle asked me, you know, if I accept that mission, and he briefed me, and I left his office, I made up my mind right then and there, being that it'd be as if we never met and as if my team never existed if we got in trouble, that I started taking notes on everything, anything and everything that happened for as long as I was alive and in Vietnam. And the first thing that I took notes about was a helicopter picked us up at Can Tho at Colonel Tuttle's headquarters. There was two of us, a lieutenant and myself. He was to be stationed at Ha Tien Special Forces Camp, and I was on my way to Chau Duc and then An Phu, which I would command. And I not only commanded the A-team, but also the 500-and-some civilian irregulars. This is the first time that had been permitted, where I would have full command. And on the way there, in this HU-1 helicopter with a full colonel flying and a warrant officer as a co-pilot, all of a sudden, west of the Special Forces camp at Rock Jaw, South Vietnam, in the Delta area, way down south in the Delta, he all of a sudden started going down towards the ground, and the machine gunners just started pumping out all kinds of rounds towards the ground, and I thought, wow, we've got the enemy in sight. And I crawled over to the door and looked out right on my stomach so I wouldn't fall out of the helicopter because it was banking and everything. I looked down on the ground, and there the helicopter gunners were actually shooting innocent peasants who were working in a rice field with a water buffalo and women and children, just old men, women, and children. And I mean, there was blood all over the water where the machine guns had hit these people and injured or killed them. And I, right away, I lifted the latches off of the machine guns and took the ammunition belts out of them, threw them on the floor, and I ordered the men to sit back in the corner. And then I went up into the cockpit of that helicopter, and I asked the colonel what the hell he was doing, excuse my language. And I said, "You're killing innocent civilians." And he says, "Look," he says, "Captain," he says, "General Westmoreland wants body count, and I'm going to give him body count. I don't care whose body it is."
My Lord.
So when he finally dumped me off, and he literally did dump me off, tried to hurt me as I exited the chopper, and I went in to report it to get it investigated, the commanding officer of the B team did not report it to higher headquarters, did not investigate it. Nothing happened to it at all.
Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Marvin is our guest on the Eagle 93.9, and we are taking your calls at 874-9390. Sonny has been holding on, and we go to Sonny in Columbia. Sonny, thanks for calling. You're on the Eagle 93.9.
Good evening, Derek, and good evening there, sir.
Good evening.
I was wondering, there's a couple of names I want to throw at you and see if you had ever had any chance to encounter them in your time over there. Dick Marcinko and Carlos Hathcock. Did you ever
I
have
don't know Carlos Hathcock, but I did know of Dick Marcinko.
Yeah. Okay, I was just wondering, because he was prowling and growling, as he likes to put it, in that part of the country down there, and Colonel Hathcock was a Marine sniper, and he kind of ran under the books, so to speak, on missions.
I didn't allow any strangers in my area, whether it was Marines or Army or CIA or anybody. I ordered them all out, and I didn't even let American reporters in my area. I did let Vietnamese because I trusted them.
Well, I can understand that. Yeah, I was just wondering if you'd ever encountered either one of those two in your time over there.
Remind me how to spell Marcinko.
Oh, boy, you're Marcinko, if I'm not mistaken. He's the author of a whole series of books that run the gamut between fact and fiction. He kind of leaves it to you to decide. A lot of it is fact, but written as fiction.
Right. Sometimes it's safer
that
way.
I almost did that before I came to know the Lord as my personal Savior, because I was afraid if I did it nonfiction, which I ended up doing because I did get saved, I thought I was worried more about them sending somebody like me. I was a Special Forces assassin to kill me for trying to get the truth out.
Just
so I thought about doing like Robin Moore did and Marcinko and a whole bunch of them. Writing fiction based on fact, but then neither you nor anybody except those men who were with me and Ann Fu would know which was fact and which was fiction. Now I've got something that we actually got taken to court about. They tried to prove it to be fiction. We proved it to be fact, and now we got it out as a victory edition with lots of information on the trial and the lawsuit, so you can tell yourself why the jury decided with us that this is a factual book, even though it goes against the grain of the CIA, who had sent a regiment to kill me and all of my Vietnamese in my camp.
Yeah, they pretty much did the same thing with Marcinko after one of his assignments. He got court-martialed and booted out, and then ultimately re-enlisted. They called him up again and said, you know, we're sorry, come back and continue with what you were doing. But yeah, his series of books is Rogue Warrior, and you just
read the whole
Red Cell was what they ended up court-martial him over was they had sent him in to test the security at a lot of high-security bases, and he basically made a laughing stock of them and then wrote a book about it, and they didn't like it.
A friend of mine was with him.
His adventures are pretty famous, but I was just curious if you'd ever encountered him.
Well, thank you for calling.
Appreciate your call, Sonny. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your service, sir.
Thank you. God bless you.
874-9390. If you'd like to get in and talk with Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Marvin about his book, Expendable Elite, or his time in Vietnam, his adventures at An Phu. And Dan, in the next hour, we will talk about your adventures in court, you and your publisher, Chris Milligan of Trying Day Publishing, and the experiences you had and who was actually behind the case. We've only got about a minute before our break here, but can you just summarize quickly what the outcome of the case was?
The outcome of the case was a complete victory for the publisher, Chris Milligan, and myself, so that we could not only continue to publish the truth about evil in our government, but we could continue to march on Expendable Elite, and especially with the Victory Edition.
We're talking with Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Marvin, author of Expendable Elite, and to be clear, the book is not anti-military in any way, shape, or form, but it does point out that there are some things that have been going on inside the U.S. government, U.S. military, and the way it's used by the government for quite some time. Our conversation will continue past the top of the hour, and again, 573-874-9390 if you have a question or comment for Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Marvin. I'm Derek Gilbert. This is The Drive on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle 939.com.